Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, November 1st, 2012. Well, it's been 4 decades since Wilbur Sutherland started Imago, a ministry that has engaged in advocacy for the arts, addressed social issues, promoted science and religion dialogue, and called for a reflection and practical action on a wide range of topics that bear on Canadian cultural life. Well, today's guest is current Imago director John Franklin, and he's on the line with us to talk about Imago's history and the upcoming 40th anniversary celebrations. But first, let's listen to Bloodstained Town from the Losing Ground CD by London, Ontario's Isabel Gunn. The trio that comprises Jeremy Zile, his wife Laura Schott Zile, and Jeremy's sister Leanna Zile was an Imago project. And we'll find a little bit more about how that works in a few moments. And currently, Jeremy and Laura are working on the Heidelberg Project, a collection of songs and resources that are based on the Heidelberg Catechism. And again, that's an Imago project. So here is Bloodstained Town.
Out and then begin to doubt it was ever there at all. You forgive, not forget what a mess bursting in my chest like all the times I've known before. Like all the times I've known before. I screamed out loud.
What I'd done, the words came out of fear, were always there to make you bleed. Only when my world was threatened, overwhelmed, couldn't see the right way out, did I ever feel the need? Why?
Conversation with John Franklin. Good evening, John.
Good evening, Robert.
Now, let's start back at the beginning, and I know we've done this before, but in case there's somebody out there that hasn't heard it, and sort of as a refresher because of the event that's going on, can you give us a little bit of history behind Imago? And I guess specifically, too, why Wilbur Sutherland decided to start something like Imago up?
Well, there was back in the late 60s and early 70s, there was a fair amount of ferment in the culture. And one of the things that the church was not too good at was engaging the culture. There was a tendency for the church to pull away and to ghettoize a little bit, actually, to sort of stay within themselves. And there was a real movement to reach out a lot more. And Wilbur was involved in that partly because of his work with InterVarsity. And his encounter with students, and he began to see the importance of engaging with culture in a very intentional way. And he had also, with his work with InterVarsity, had met a lot of artists. And that I think was really helpful to him to say, look, we need to think more seriously about the arts and how we can assist Christians who are artists. And I often say that at the heart of Imago's beginnings was the understanding that Christian artists were marginalized by the church because of their art and marginalized by the culture because of their faith.
Well, I think that was sort of the classic line from Larry Norman, who came out around that time with his first Christian CD or Christian album. And he said, you know, it was too religious for the mainstream bookstores to sell, and it was too mainstream and too rock and roll for the Christian bookstores to sell.
Exactly, and Imago was launched. It began in 1972, and its real purpose was to be able to say to the Christian artists, "We affirm you in your art, and we affirm you in your faith."
Now, how much of a challenge was that at the time? I mean, we forget how, when we look at where Imago is now and where the arts and the church are now. It was really a different aspect back then, especially because there were a lot of things going on in the mainstream culture, like with avant-garde art. You had, you know, Andy Warhol and all of these type of things that were going on. And people automatically equated artists who were Christians with what was going on in the mainstream at the time.
Well, that may be true, I think, Robert. But what we really, I think, wanted to say, and what Wilbur was keen to say, is that there's a way in which Christians can do art which requires integrity, honesty, truthfulness. And it does break out of the boundaries at times. I mean, art can be disruptive. But it also has a great power to communicate, and I think to harness its power to communicate was something that the church had done in the past, mm-hmm. but had basically let go, and in the mid-20th century, it just wasn't happening. And I think the vision was to harness that power so that once again the arts could be an expression of the truth of the gospel, the imagination could be informed by the biblical story, and that these gifted people could be affirmed in their faith as they seek to be faithful followers of Jesus.
Now, when did you start getting involved yourself?
Well, I had known Wilbur for a number of years, and our paths have crossed quite a bit, but particularly in the early 90s, so we collaborated on a few things together. My involvement actually began in 1998. That's when I began as executive director of Imago. Wilbur, the founding director, passed away in 1997. And I had lost my position as a professor at Tyndale, and I was invited to apply for executive director of Imago, and of course, as we say, the rest is history.
Mm-hmm. Well, what other than your relationship with Wilbur and that, what kind of prompted you to accept that position?
Well, while I was teaching at Tyndale, I had recognized, I mean, my area was philosophy, and I often talked about the arts and the importance of the arts, and that's because I personally enjoy the arts a great deal, and visual arts and music and drama and film. And I began in my later years at Tyndale to put on arts events, to actually put up visual art shows, put on festivals and chamber concerts. And so I had quite a network by the time 1997 came around. And there were some people who knew that. And so it was a kind of an obvious segue to move from the kind of thing I was doing at Tyndale, mm-hmm. in engaging the arts, to working with Imago.
Well, looking at the last 40 years and where Imago's been and where Imago is now, what are some of the things that have changed both within the ministry as well as what's been around it, both in the church and in culture?
Well, a lot has changed, I think, in terms of the understanding and attitude towards the arts within the church. I mean, I think there's a great opening up that has been taking place over the past, well, say, decade or two, which is very, very positive. It's not, as much an uphill battle as it might have been for Wilbur and some of those who were part of his team. There's still, today, a real interest in the arts in faith communities. But to be candid, I would say that we don't really have a full embrace of the arts in our Christian communities. There are exceptions, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still a kind of tentativeness about the arts. And I was just at two different churches this past week that are just beginning to open up in new ways to the importance of the arts in their own community.
Wow. Well, what I need to do is we'll follow up a little bit on that and how Mogwatchi works with artists. But what we need to do is take a quick break, and then we'll continue our conversation with the Mogo Executive Director, John Franklin. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Yahweh, the title track from Trevor Dick's latest CD, which was also an Imago project. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with John Franklin, Imago's executive director. We've used that term, Imago project, a couple of times as we've been talking about the musicians we've been playing here tonight. Can you sort of describe how that works with Imago?
Yes, Imago is a registered charity in Canada, and one of the things we have the capacity to do is to adopt a project that some Christian artists may have, and like that Trevor Dick had. He wanted to do a CD, and he wanted ultimately to establish a ministry. But they didn't have charitable status, and they weren't sure whether people would be interested. So what happens is we adopt the project, it comes under Imago, and that project then has the benefit of charitable status. And as they raise funds, they then try to complete their project. Some do CDs, some will do writing, others might create a dance troupe or a theater company or whatever.
You had Jason Hildebrand a few years ago do the Blue Like Jazz.
Is it a good example? Blue Like Jazz, that's right. And also his project, The Prodigal, was under Imago. And his project, Herod, is under Imago. And now The Arts Engine, which is a theater collective, is also under Imago. What we do is we facilitate these projects to get them from A to B. Now, some simply do a CD, and when it's complete, the project is done. Others go off and seek their own charitable status, and in a way, Imago then births these new ministries.
I remember when the Word Guild came on, and initially they started as an Imago project, and they're one of these ones that have now been able to go off and obtain their own charitable status and have become their own ministry and nonprofit organization.
So yes, and so that's exactly, I think, the vision for Imago, that it's generative. It gets things to happen. It facilitates, and it's got a great history of that, actually. It's actually amazing. I'm even discovering much more about it, given that it's the 40th anniversary this year, and I'm learning more about its history.
Great. Well, Trevor's also one of the people that's going to be taking part in the 40th anniversary celebrations that are taking place in a little while. Tell us about it. When is it? What's happening? Who are some of the other people?
The 40th anniversary is going to happen at the Glenn Gould Studio in the CBC building in downtown Toronto. We choose that in part because it's an icon for culture in Canada, the Glenn Gould Studio, and much of what Imago is about is being a Christian presence in the culture. So this is going to happen on Friday, November the 2nd at 7:30. It's a stellar cast of Christian artists, and we're delighted with the response that we're getting. Included on the list are Lila Bialy, a jazz pianist who currently has a project with Imago. You've mentioned Trevor Dick. Brad Woods, the storyteller, is going to be part of this evening. Modiso Dance Theater, which was launched under Imago many years ago, will be performing. Kevin Ramasar from the Kitchener-Waterloo area is going to perform. And we have Calvin Sierfeld, who is well known as a writer, an author, and actually a biblical scholar as well. And he's going to open the evening with some words about arts and faith.
Now, did you have a challenge when you're looking at the 40-year history of Imago? Was there a challenge trying to decide who you were going to bring on as part of the celebration?
Oh Robert, I can't tell you. Listen, in addition to who I was going to bring on to perform, I'm going to have in the program a list of 40 artists, and I have a challenge with the list of 40 artists, let alone with who I'm the eight or so that I'm having on the program. There's so much talent out there.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to those who are on the program, we're going to have, I think it's going to be 8 to 10 visual artists whose work will be on display in the lobby. I had a challenge there. I know so many wonderful Christian visual artists, and it's so hard to select. So yes, indeed, it's been quite a challenge for me.
How did you sort of winnow it down? How did you get to that point where you said, yes, these are the 40 we're going to include on the program, and these are the 8 that we're going to have?
Yeah, there isn't an easy answer to that. Part of it is just my own intuition. Their connections with Imago, the number of connections they've had, whether they've had a project, although not all on the list will have had projects. It has to do with a kind of intuition about how I've known these people and how they've been connected with Imago and my own knowledge and value of their work. I mean, that's really the process, but it's very hard to articulate.
Now, what are you hoping that people will come away with after the celebration?
Well, there's a couple of things. I mean, I want the people to have a stronger sense of the very, very high-level talent that there is amongst Christians as artists. I'm very, very keen that people will understand that. And perhaps for obvious reasons, another thing I want people to understand is the kind of impact and influence that Imago has. What Imago does is not all that measurable. It's not that easy to quantify what Imago does. Excuse me. It's very much about relationships, about encouragement, about facilitating, about networking. And those things are hard to measure. And so mm-hmm. I'm hoping we do have because we have a video that we're going to show as well, interviewing about 12 artists, and that too was a challenging process to select those people. But I really hope that people will see that this small organization that has had this 40-year history is actually having a very significant impact in terms of Canadian culture and within the church and among Christian artists.
Well, looking at that and looking how measuring impact and that and I'm sure that, you know, you sort of have to, you know, once a year for your board, you know, make a report that says this is what Imago did and this is how it's done it. How do you measure the impact of what the Imago projects and even just the artists that you've come in contact with over the years? How do you measure how that impact has happened?
Well, I think one of the ways to measure it is spin-off. I mean, Dennis Hassel, who is a playwright, has under Imago got seed money for his play, The Glory Road. And he was just down in Georgia with a performance of this play that he wrote. And President and Mrs. Carter were there. The founder of Habitat for Humanity, which the play is really about, the founding of Habitat for Humanity, they were there. And this there's a movie company that has some interest in this show. He has another one that's now being translated and going to be shown in Taiwan. It's in the United States and in South America. That's the kind of spin-off. But in addition to that, some years ago it was suggested to me you should find out what your audience is. And I have to say, I was very surprised to find that with the Imago projects and Imago's own events, that the audience for 1 year was pretty close to 100,000.
Wow.
That's a measurable thing, that we're getting out to this very, very large audience in Canada and beyond, actually.
Well, one of the things I've seen happening over the years lately with artists and with that, with organizations, is the fact that we're no longer sticking within the church. It's no longer just we're doing arts for congregations for the church. We're trying to get out into the community. I'm going to be playing a piece from Mike Jansen's Try to Remember in a couple of minutes here. And that was all show tunes. You know, is that a change? Is that a significant change in the vision that artists and Imago has?
I think it is, and I think that Christian artists are feeling more comfortable with a presence in the culture. And I think it also indicates, Robert, that Christian artists are recognizing that art is a gift from God, no matter where it is performed or expressed. And often I think we pull art into the church as a way of legitimizing it. Well, my point is that Christian artists, many of them, are recognizing that it doesn't need to be legitimized by bringing it into the church.
Mm-hmm.
Hans Ruckmacher, an art historian, a Dutch art historian, some years ago published a little book with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, and the title of the book was Art Needs No Justification.
That is a tiny book, but it is so jam-packed.
It is. It's wonderful. And so I think that the artists are saying, look, art needs no justification. It's a God-given gift. Let's get out there and do it.
Mm-hmm. I've even seen visual artists. Phil Irish.
Yeah.
No, Phil Irish, yes.
I do, yeah.
Phil Irish is one who has had installations in a number of mainstream galleries.
I could list you easily a score of artists that I know who have done that.
Wow.
A visual artist. More than 20 that I know personally that are doing exactly what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, what we need to do is take one final break, and when we come back, we'll finish our conversation with Imago Executive Director John Franklin. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
God on high, hear my prayer in my been there. He is young. He's afraid. Let him rest. Heaven blessed. Bring him home. Bring him home. Thank you.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Bring Him Home from the Mike Janssen Trio CD, Try to Remember. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with Imago Executive Director John Franklin. John, looking at this year, you've had a fairly busy year. What are some of the other things that you've done to celebrate Imago's 40th?
Well, actually, we've just begun this. I mean, Imago turns 40 on actually November 1st, so that's the day before our event at Glenn Gould Studio. But Imago has been fortunate to get some modest funding to do some soirees. And these are smaller, more intimate gatherings, which we have at our home, where we have 35 or so people come along, and we feature an artist. And we're going to do six of those. We've done one this fall, but we'll be doing five more. I'm hoping that we're going to have a couple of lectures in the new year. So the 40th anniversary is sort of going to be from November 2nd on through the coming year. So we have a number of other things in the works that we hope to do to continue the kind of work we do in celebrating and profiling the arts.
Well, looking at that now, we're taping this ahead of time, and people may be interested in looking at getting tickets and that. How can people find out if there are tickets still available for the event?
Well, there's two ways to do that. One is to go to our website, which is imago-arts.org, and you can purchase tickets online. The other would be to call us directly, and I believe my phone number is on the website.
Mm-hmm.
I could give it here as well if you like.
Yeah, let's just do that in case somebody wants to jot it down.
Here's the number, 416-421-8745.
Great.
And the tickets are maybe for obvious reasons $40, which include, as I say, this stellar cast, and there's a big reception and lots of food afterwards as well. It's part of the celebration.
Great. And imago-arts.org is also where people can just keep track of what Imago's doing over the year.
That's right.
Great.
And we have a Facebook page as well.
Great. John, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Thank you, Robert. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it, Imago.
Great. And thank you for listening to Arts Connection today. Thank you to my guest, John Franklin. And be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.